God, we do thank you for your word. And as we turn to your word this morning, we pray that you will draw us to yourself. Help us as we read your word to know you better. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
I want to turn your attention this morning to the passage that was read to us from Philippians. And in particular, to just a few words that Paul wrote. I want to know Christ. I want to know Christ. I was quite interested. I had no contact with Rod at all, but Rod wrote the article in the newsletter. And basically, that's exactly the words that stood out for him. I want to know Christ. And if you forget all about what I've said this morning, there's an excellent synopsis in the newsletter that you can read afterwards. Paul wrote these words, I want to know Christ. And they were really very significant words when we come to read words alongside them. Paul said, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Jesus Christ, my Lord. I don't know how you felt as you heard the letter read to us from Philippians. Perhaps you might have thought, well, that chap Paul sounds a pretty arrogant sort of man from what he wrote. Is he being rather boastful, telling us all about the things that he did? I think not. I'm sure you will agree with me that live testimony today is really very valuable in helping people to understand the power of the resurrection, the power of Jesus Christ to change lives. And some of you may have heard or read testimonies of people whose lives have been changed by that power of Jesus. It reminded me of a man who some of you I know have come across, a man called Richard Taylor. Now, as a child, as a youth, he was a total delinquent. He was in and out of prison all the time. And in fact, he grew up to be a sort of a career criminal and a drug addict, and spent a lot of his time in prison. But in prison, he came to read the Bible, and he was given help by some of the prison workers. It's interesting when you read about how he came to read the Bible. He came to read the Bible because he pinched the Bible from the chaplain. And he pinched the Bible from the chaplain because the paper used by the Bible, in fact, was ideal for wrapping up his joints to smoke. So as he said to us when I heard him preaching, actually, one of the interesting things was that when he read his Bible, there were certain pages missing. They'd been used already for his joints. But the amazing thing was that as he read the Bible and as he spoke to people in prison, he came to know Jesus. And when he came to know Jesus, his life was totally transformed. It took a while, of course, and I haven't seen or heard from him recently, but when I heard from him, he actually had become the pastor of the Renewal Christian Center in Solihull. So perhaps some of you, in fact, also have met him. If you want to know more, actually, he's written a book. It's called To Catch a Thief, and it's really inspiring to read. What I'm trying to tell you is that, in fact, testimonies can really help people to understand the power of Jesus. And basically, that's what Paul is doing. Paul is telling us his testimony about his life before he met Jesus and his life after he met Jesus. As we read that those verses from Philippians, we realize that Paul, in fact, was quite a character. Of course, we learned a little bit about him from the Acts of the Apostles. We're told, in fact, that he stood aside and held people's coats as they stoned Stephen, the first Christian martyr, to death. In other words, he approved very much of that. He was so zealous against the Christian church at the time that he managed to get the Jewish church in Jerusalem to give him letters to take to Damascus, in fact, so he could persecute the Christians there and bring them back to Jerusalem as prisoners to face trial. Of course, you know, on the way to Damascus, he actually met Jesus, and things rather changed in his life. But he tells us here, in these few verses, a little bit about his life. Circumcised on the eighth day, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to law, a Pharisee, as for zeal, persecuting the church, as for righteousness based on the law, faultless. Wow, as a Pharisee, that was something of a testimony, an outstanding testimony for somebody who was pursuing the Jewish faith at the time. I'm sure any Pharisee would have been proud of such a glowing testimony. And how devoted he must have been that he could say about the law that with regard to the law, he was faultless. I wonder how many of us, in fact, if we thought of the law, the Ten Commandments, or even the summary of the law, we should love God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love our neighbor as ourself, that we could say, faultless. Perhaps I should say, put your hand up if you can. And I wouldn't expect to see many hands actually go up. It was amazing, actually, that Paul could have that testimony. But now, what does he go on to say? But whatever were gains for me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ. What a difference meeting Jesus on the Damascus Road meant to Paul. And you know, here the translation we have is quite polite. I was reading, these aren't my words, I'm not clever enough for that. These are words from a commentary that I read. But actually, the word garbage, Everly, is more correctly translated as dog poo. So that's how much worth Paul thought about his past life. And he says he wants to know Christ. And the word know is actually a word that's quite intimate. It isn't anything to do with intellectual knowledge, a knowledge of facts and principles. It's rather to have personal knowledge, a personal experience of somebody. It's very intimate. It's like the intimacy between a man and his wife. In fact, the same word to know is the word that we find at the very beginning of the Bible in Genesis. Adam knew Eve, his wife, and we all know what that means. It is so, so very intimate. Paul doesn't just want to know about Christ. Paul wants to know Christ. Paul is also trying to get across to us the folly of trying to gain our righteousness through what we do, through ourselves, through our own means. And, you know, I think all of us, if we're honest, we have that tendency, don't we? We really want to be called good because of the things we do. So we all have that tendency, in a way, to do good things and then to hope, because we've done these good things, that God will pat us on the back and say, well done. And Paul came to realize that all of that actually is garbage. All of that is foolishness. That sort of righteousness, in fact, is actually just not good enough. You see, if you think about it, our God is a holy God. If we're going to have a relationship with a holy God, we also have to be holy. Now, we can try as much as we like to be righteous, And we may actually do good things and be righteous at times. But at times, actually, we're not righteous. At times, we do things that are bad. Well, I certainly do. I know that. Perhaps you don't do it very often. But you have done some things that you know are wrong. The problem is, you see, that when we do good things, it doesn't put the wrong things right. They're still there. We need somebody beyond ourselves to remove those wrong things altogether. And that's what Paul had come to realize, that for all the things that he'd done right and all the ticks he could give to his life, in fact, he couldn't remove the wrong things that he had done. That required somebody else. And on the Damascus Road, he recognized that that person was Jesus. And that's something that we all have to realize. In fact, we can't right the wrongs that we've done. Only somebody else can do that. And as Paul realized it, so we must come to realize that that person is Jesus. Paul came to realize that actually righteousness is a gift from God. In a way, our righteousness is the gift of Jesus. Paul knew all about the requirements of the law. He knew that sacrifice had to be made for the forgiveness of sins. But when he met Jesus, he realized that when Jesus died on the cross and made his sacrifice, then once for all, a sacrifice had been made on our behalf so that we could be forgiven of our sins. Jesus' blood on the cross was the blood shed by sacrifice, his own life, so that we could be made righteous. And when Paul realized that, is it any wonder that he would say, I want to know Jesus. I want to know Christ. Surely that should be the same for us. If we come to understand what Christ has done for us, that Christ, in fact, offers us his righteousness so that we can be righteous before Christ, before God, isn't it only right that we should say, I want to know Christ? So what does wanting to know Christ mean for Paul and for us? It goes on in verse 10 to say this, I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection of the dead. Paul wanted to be totally united with Jesus. I guess in practical terms, it's not very easy for us to understand what those things mean. I thought about it quite a lot and wondered perhaps if I could make at least a suggestion what I think perhaps it means for us today. Well, it means for us that as Christ died for us, so we are willing to die to self, to give ourselves wholly to Jesus. He suffered for the world for which he died. And so today we suffer because we share Jesus' passion that the world would turn from its wickedness and its wrong ways and turn to him, that the world would want to know Christ. We suffer with Christ when we have that real passion for the world. And then Paul says he wants to know the power of the resurrection, the power that raised Jesus from the dead. And that's something we all need to know. We can't serve Christ on our own. We're so inadequate in the things we do. But just like Paul wanted to know the power of the resurrection, so we can know that power that transforms lives. It transformed Jesus' life. It transformed Richard Taylor's lives. It's transformed many of your lives. It's transformed our lives when we came to know Jesus Christ. We need that power. We can't do it on ourselves. You know, all this might sound pretty hard to the outcome of the practicability of being knowing Jesus Christ. It is hard. And perhaps we might think, I can't do it. Be assured. That's exactly what Paul was trying to say. He says in those last verses, I haven't got there yet. I'm not perfect. I'm still striving to get there. I want to be better. And that's what Jesus asks from us. He says, I offer you the power of my resurrection, and I want you to try as hard as you can. You're not there yet, but you're going to get there. And also, knowing the power of the resurrection means that we can know that because of that power, Jesus is alive today. Jesus is with us. And Jesus, in fact, will take us to be with him forever and forever. So I hope this morning, I long this morning that every one of us here will say, I want to know Christ. And perhaps this is a prayer that might encourage us. Perhaps it's a prayer we could pray every morning. Jesus, my Savior, my Lord, and my friend, grant that at the end of this day, I may know you better than I know you now. Amen.